This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Did you guys ever do White Elephant or the Yankee Swap growing up?
We do White Elephant every year in my family.
Yeah?
Yeah.
We do it with our friends.
Yeah.
I guess, but I was wondering if you did it as a kid.
My parents play a game called Rob Your Neighbor, which is like White Elephant, but with dice.
And all your and your family all put on masks and went out at midnight.
They do dress up. It's always a theme every year. Mm-hmm. They'll have a, you know, trashy Christmas, disco Christmas, or all these things, and people
top of Swiss
people
miss.
Rent
top of Swiss miss.
That should be one. Spanish tapas and Swiss miss hot chocolate. What's so wrong
what's
about that?
What's not to get?
Yeah,
Moroccan Christmas,
Morocco Christmas,
Merry Christmas.
Out of paper, out of stock. There's friendly faces around the block. Break loose from the chains that are causing you pain. Call Michael and Stanley, Jim Dwight Creed, call Andy and Kelly, for your business paper needs, or Dunder-Mifflin, the people versus paper people, Dunder-Mifflin, the people versus paper people, Dunder-Mifflin, the people versus paper people.
Hello and welcome to the Michael Scott Podcast Company, a show for fans of The Office by fans of The Office. I'm your host and weird baby poster photographer, Sean Roney.
I'm Edwin James, head of the party planning committee.
And with us, as always, our producer in the warehouse, Mr. Alex Ward.
What's up, my nerds? Packer! Yes!
You can listen to Dave Koechner's laughter in the back. That's so funny.
Every week we get together and talk about our favorite show, NBC's The Office. And tis the season. Today we're talking about Christmas.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Merry Christmas, everybody, and happy holidays. Today we're going to talk a little bit about season 2 and Christmas party specifically. Season 2, episode 10. We're going to talk about, we get some mailbag to do later, some trivia.
Yes, we're going to do a couple Christmas episodes, one coming out this week, and then one coming out next week on Christmas Day. And we're going to go episode by episode for Christmas, because on one hand, there's a lot to unpack. There is a Christmas episodes in The Office are such a big, like, recurring sort of theme, and then it'll give us stuff to talk about next year.
Yeah, so, for sure.
And I guess in our progression of seasonal recaps, we'll talk about what happens in the Christmas episodes in those later seasons as we cover those seasons. Probably.
Sure.
So, but anyway, on to season 2.
Plenty of time. Yeah. And I forgot we're dropping an episode Christmas Day.
That's
little
right.
Little gift from the under the tree from the MSPC crew to
That's
you.
That's right.
Can't wait.
I guess
we're gonna be going straight through the holidays.
Before we jump into season 2,
would
you want to talk a little bit about what a Christmas episode means for The Office? Because I think it's a pretty, we don't have to go too deep into it, but
Sure. It's,
I think that, most people at their jobs experience some sort of Christmas party.
Not me.
Right? Not you, sure.
We're at it right now.
technically, I guess this could be your
This is my Christmas. This party. Is my office Christmas party.
But, Edwin, I'm sure there's
No, we don't do an like an official office Christmas party every year. They decided that they would take the money that they usually use or they used to use for a bigger event and they donate it to charity every year.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That's, okay, cool. That's great. Cool. Yeah, well, that's nice. Probably
like Kevin with the mini tree.
It, so you guys are spared the awkward, sometimes uncomfortable office party that's not quite a party, but
we did not quite work. We did a smaller like happy hour thing with our team or department, and mm-hmm. then a smaller team that I'm a part of did a little after work kind of happy hour thing as well. So
oh, nice.
A couple of little parties here and there, but yep. no big or awkward Christmas party per se. Yeah.
But
no one pretending to be Santa and then Jesus and yeah.
do you have one?
If I'm working on a show, then there's going to be some sort of Christmas thing, usually.
Yeah. What was the last one you had? I was like trying to think. When were you working?
I was
around
working
the holidays.
Over Christmas last year, but oh, okay. maybe there wasn't. Maybe people didn't do it. But we've had them before.
Yeah. I was at one this year. Speaking of the like awkward, yeah. like a just holiday party where people are mingling. But it was at my partner's her work party, and we showed up there, and it started at 7, and then we had another party to get to. Mm-hmm. So we were there at the very beginning of the party when yeah. it was like a dozen people in a large room.
Yeah.
You know, one disco light just spinning. We're all eating finger food.
Ronnie says, does anyone want to dance?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It was like that.
And everyone just
it was
leaves.
Like that. But then we left. We went to our friend's birthday party. Mm-hmm. Then came back to the holiday party after several hours of drinking had passed.
Yes.
And it was a very different
Michael
party.
Michael showed up with 15 bottles of vodka.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And it was a lot more fun.
But let's talk about what
the office.
Yes, the office of the TV show and what Christmas party means there. Because a Christmas episode comes up several times throughout the show. There are only two seasons of the nine, or I guess three, that don't have Christmas episodes in them. Or
I mean, anytime Michael is throwing a party, mm-hmm. Hilarity ensues and mayhem and chaos. But I think it's a great way for Michael to ruin everyone's day.
Now that I'm thinking about it, I think only season one and I think season four don't have Christmas episodes.
I was going to say, it's by far there's the most themed episodes of Christmas in the show, for sure.
I narrowed it down to a couple things. What happens in a Christmas episode on The Office is a handful of these things. So, number one, people revealing feelings for each other in some sort of way. Not necessarily romantic feelings, but it could be that. But people being, there's like an emotional honesty that comes with the Christmas episodes.
Often fueled by
drinking, yes. And we'll talk about this, but this is one of the first episodes in the show where the characters do drink and they do kind of reveal things to each other. Mm-hmm. It happens in the Dundies episode, and it happens in The Client, I suppose, in season two, mm-hmm. just kind of as we're leading up to this episode. But this is one of the first episodes where the entire cast is drinking, kind of having fun in the office environment. And then the last thing is the end of the year. So there's this feeling of kind of like catharsis, like as you lead up to the end of the year, there's this feeling of like getting ready for a break, being done, and then New Year is kind of a new beginning. So maybe there's this this need to kind of get things off your chest a little bit when you're with these people for the last time, maybe.
Sure. Let's dive into the episode, Christmas Party, Season 2, Episode 10, directed by Charles McDougall and written by Michael Schur. It aired on December 6, 2005. Basically, the plot of this episode is Michael wants to throw a crazy Christmas party because he needs a crazy photo for the newsletter and he wants to impress everyone, and especially Ryan, with his big bonus check that he got for firing Devin. So it's kind of, which right off the bat is problematic because he shouldn't tell people about it, but he clearly, he can't even help but brag about it.
He also shouldn't call Devin and tell him that something good came out of his firing, which is what he suggests.
I wonder if I should call him.
That'd be a tough call.
Of course, we've also got Jim and Pam. Jim gets Pam for Secret Santa, so he sees it as an opportunity to tell her how he feels, which is foiled by Michael's Yankee swap game, which happens.
It's weird that there almost seem to be two dynamics at work. There's Michael trying to throw this big party,
mm-hmm.
right? Where he comes into the party planning committee wearing the Santa beard,
yeah.
and he's telling everyone, double it, double everything.
Yeah.
You know, I want this to be like the Playboy Mansion, right? And I love
hanging from the ceiling,
lampshade on the head.
The way that he pushes, I think it's Angela and Phyllis's heads together and goes, la, 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 like to simulate making out.
Oh my
they
gosh.
Both just kind of accept him pushing their heads together.
Yeah.
It's a really awkward moment.
It sure is.
But that sort of conflicts a little bit with the Secret Santa exchange, which I suppose is supposed to be like a pretty quick thing that Michael turns into a big ordeal with his Yankee
right.
swap flip.
Yeah, yeah.
Because then it goes immediately back to let's throw a crazy party.
Yeah, well, yeah, so everybody, of course, Secret Santa works like you buy something for a specific person. And then once the iPod drops everybody gets upset, Michael turns it into Yankee swap. So
well, Michael gets the oven mitt.
Right.
And he's so upset to get such a small gift in comparison to his the iPod that he spent so much money on. It was supposed to be a $20 limit. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
This is like honestly some of the most childish Michael ever gets whole show.
Yeah.
I mean, he really is acting like a spoiled kid.
He's pretty selfish and he gets away with nearly everything.
Yeah, I know. And like this is another thing I was thinking with Christmas episodes is Michael often is the villain. Like mm-hmm. a villainous character in some of these. Like think about how protective he is of the Santa character and how many feelings he hurts because of that. Be it Daryl, be it Phyllis. And then, I mean, in this episode, he's absolutely this troll in the office who's just trying to get what he wants.
He says later on in the episode where he is Santa and has to, you know, he's arguing with Phyllis.
Right.
He says, and later when I am ruining everything, you're going to wish I was on your side.
He's self-aware about it, but it's kind of funny that like, you know, as the show and the seasons move towards the end of the year and everyone's been working and it's time for bonuses and it's time for all these things that so much stuff goes down around Christmas time. And I think this happens in real life too. And it certainly happens in the show. And you know, all this stuff comes to a head. And, that's the theme is just chaos of every Christmas episode, it seems like.
There is an element in this part of the show, this area of the show, where Michael doesn't have the other characters can't shout Michael down in the way that they can in later seasons.
Oh, they just take it.
They don't have the same sort of agency to kind of fight back against him.
Right.
I mean, he's so inappropriate.
I mean, think about...
Ho, 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 pimp!
Yeah.
It just...
Only one he doesn't point out is Meredith. Yeah. Only one he doesn't call a ho.
Well, it's like Jim says we call that nasty Christmas. Pam says we call it white elephant. Michael says, "Well, I call it fun," and they just keep going.
Yankee
you know?
Swap,
exactly.
That was a nice little nice little maneuver by the writing. We need to make sure people know what this is.
I was gonna bring that up too. That was like they were trying to decide what to call it in the show, and Greg Daniels, I think, was the one who was like, "Let's just have everyone say whatever they call it," and which is just a brilliant. Like when we talk about like why does everyone love The Office so much, it's like it's because they're conscious of stuff like that they're thinking about how to make it relatable for everyone whenever they can. So I also thought that was a sweet little moment from the writers.
One thing I noticed during that, Phyllis says, people always call out Phyllis saying popcorn in later seasons.
Yeah, yeah.
She says, I knitted it for you. Like she slips into her accent a little bit there. The other thing I wonder is how effective a homemade knitted oven mitt would be.
It sure looks like a piece of construction.
Yeah, it's
not
good at all.
Not to diminish the effort or the love that went into creating it, but how hot can the things be that you use it for?
It looks like
use it on a coffee mug. Like,
it looks like she got like an oven mitt knitting kit something.
A mitt kit.
Yeah, a mitt kit. Sure. Mm-hmm.
Knit mitt kit.
I wonder. I would love to have seen the options for the oven mitt. Just like that one is the saddest one.
Yep.
And pink and looks like
kind of funny though that you know, as you look towards the finale and Michael's pressuring Phyllis to finish knitting his gift for him.
That's true.
You know, faster. It's kind of funny that it comes full circle. He's like really like, you got to finish this for me. Like, I really want this thing from you.
Yeah.
Well, that's a really good point.
Yeah. He's such a jerk in this episode. He's so mean to Phyllis about the oven mitt.
Yeah.
I think, too, what we see in this episode is the characters showing how much or how little they know about each other, right? Mm-hmm. Oscar has Creed. He says, I don't know much about Creed. I think he's Irish, so I got him the Shamrock keychain, you know?
Right.
Or
Creed digging into his closet and pulling out this little number.
the sleeve with the shirt with the two short sleeves.
Shirt for Jim.
I love, too, the comedy of Jim wearing it over his work shirt.
Yeah.
Like, he's still got his white shirt with the tie on under it. Yeah.
I noticed in this one, I don't think this was intended, because I think in a deleted scene, this is negated. But I realized at the end, when Jim's trying to trade Dwight back for the teapot, and he's like, come on, it's a Shamrock keychain.
Yeah.
Which implies that Creed then, during Yankee Swap, took back his shirt in exchange for the keychain that Oscar got him. And he was like, I kind of need that shirt back.
Yeah. I'll take the shirt.
Well, did you watch the deleted scenes for this one?
I think Ryan.
Yeah, so in the deleted scenes for this episode, it does turn out that what you see a lot in the deleted scenes for this particular episode is more emphasis on what people end up getting and what people get for each other. Mm-hmm. So, yes, it turns out Toby ends up with the Book of Short Stories. And
Toby gets the Kelly name tag.
yeah,
right. He trades
Stanley,
with Kelly. Yeah,
it's meant for Kelly.
Yeah. But Ryan ends up with Creed's shirt, and he says, "I didn't want anything else. I figured I could give it to a homeless person."
Yeah, you know? Okay.
Stanley between the Kelly,
which would be Creed,
between the Kelly name tag with like the little flowers and stuff on it, and then the doll he makes for Phyllis. Great gift giver,
mm-hmm.
Stanley. Like, he's kind of thoughtful.
He is,
as Phyllis says later on, like, what a grump. Would a grump make this? You know? Anyway.
There's also a thing where Pam does a drawing for Meredith in the deleted scene.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, that's sweet.
Which is nice, because you get to see, again, the characters showing that how much they know about each other. Sometimes it's not very much. Sometimes it's a lot. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the far end of the spectrum is Jim giving the teapot to Pam, right?
Yeah.
But it's nice to see sort of a revelation, or the show revealing how much or how little the cast knows itself, or the characters know each other.
Right. Yeah. Damn. Good for Toby too. He knows that he knows what Angela's into. The baby poster.
Yeah.
Weird baby poster.
And Kelly just says, "Yikes!"
Yikes.
I think
some people actually like these.
Yeah. So kind of, I think the other thing that comes out of this is, you know, Phyllis gets up at the end and walk and kind of storms off a little bit, and so, you know, Michael says, "I don't know what's her problem," and they say, you know, maybe it's because you hated their presence so much.
Yeah.
Right. And Michael eventually tries to save the party by going to buy all this alcohol.
Yeah.
And what we see is Michael kind of realizing, maybe subconsciously, that he needs to kind of save the party, or that, you know, he brings back the alcohol, and Toby says, we're really not supposed to serve alcohol.
Yeah.
And Michael says, if I can't throw a great party for my employees, then I am a terrible boss. Right. Which is a kind of a peek into Michael's psyche. And there is, and at this juncture in the show, I don't know that you would have needed or would have wanted a talking head where Michael says, wow, like, I really, you know, ruined this party for everyone, and now it's my job to cheer everyone up.
Yeah.
It works better with that either not said or not realized.
Yeah.
You know, for Michael's character, he's still so petty, so childish at this stage of the show. But that's what I kind of see, you know?
Yeah, he does have that moment where you just see him looking around after Pam says that. And then all of a sudden he's off to the liquor store. Yeah, that's kind of his only punishment for being rude and inappropriate and a jerk to everybody all day. It's just Pam kind of hitting him with that little bit of his own medicine, and then he heads out to go get the alcohol.
In future seasons, he's like, all right, quiet, we're thinking, okay? His lines like that are, you know, I've looked at this from like 100 ways.
Yeah.
Our perspective, their perspective, 98 others, right? He has a lot of lines like that.
3,000
yeah.
G's.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But in this
moment, my mind's going moment a mile show, a minute right
wow,
now.
Wow, that fast. Yeah. Mile an hour. Yeah.
A mile an hour, yeah. Thank you.
But then we get into the Christmas party, which is like a really fun expression of all the characters getting drunk with each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, Michael says to the guy at the liquor store, one of my favorite.
You know, I was bummed. One time I did a conference room where I was just like, who are your favorite? Like, who are some great one episode characters?
Mm-hmm.
Scene episode characters in some cases.
Liquor store guy for sure.
He sticks in. You remember his face.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He says, you're the expert. Is this enough to get 20 people plastered?
15 bottles of vodka.
I think it'll do it.
That ought to do it.
Cool, box it up.
I love saying cool, box it up.
I was reading about the episode, and they had a note in there that, like, the uniform of that guy is very accurate because it's a state-run liquor store, and they have to wear a necktie and a shirt. And he's, like, wearing exactly what you'd wear at a Pennsylvania liquor store. So.
Oh, wow. Classy liquor store. Yeah, that's there.
One of the first glimpses we see of Meredith's drinking as well.
I was going to say, I did have a note, that we just learn a lot about everybody in this episode.
Yeah.
Phyllis and Bob Vance are dating. You know, Creed. We
meet Bob Vance for the first time.
Yeah, we do meet the introduction Bob Vance of Bob Vance
a few times. But yeah, Meredith being an alcoholic, she says, you know, I'm excited for this because, you know, I made a New Year's resolution that I'm not going to drink anymore on weekdays or something
during
like
the week.
During the week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love the introduction of Bob Vance. It's a great way. Yeah. it grows the business park a little bit that we mm-hmm. see, you know. At first, it's the office, and then it's the warehouse, and then we get the Vance Refrigeration, right?
Yeah.
We don't interact too much with the other properties in the business mm-hmm. park, but eventually we get the Vance Refrigeration guys. Yeah,
sure.
You know, but it's nice to see
Billy
another character.
Billy Merchant?
Yes.
Is that who?
Billy Packer?
No, the guy who... Billy Merchant.
Cool guy,
Paul.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We get the one
Disaster
episode.
Kits Unlimited.
Mm-hmm. When we meet Bob Vance, what line of work you in, Bob? That's like one of the... It's such a naked joke.
Yeah.
Just written for its own sake. Like, anyone could have done that. It doesn't really depend on any character. It's just like a joke you read in some joke book.
Right.
You know, it's just like, it's great.
It's so good. And we've talked before on the show about the theory that that it's not that Bob Vance just introduces himself that way to everyone, but he's aware of the cameras there and is just trying to make sure that, like, they get that, which I love that.
Yeah. Could also be, you know, like people might know the name because they've seen him in the business park.
Sure,
he's flexing his muscles a little bit. Like, you know who I am. You've seen my name.
Yeah.
It's really great because of the character. Wait, maybe we should just talk about Bob Vance at some point.
When else are we going to talk
about Bob Vance?
But the introduction of a character who eventually can, like, influence or bully Michael a little bit.
Oh, right, sure. Really,
you know what I love about it? Just like Daryl's the only person who calls Michael Mike.
Yeah.
Bob's the only person who just calls him Scott.
Yeah.
And both of them have a lot of sway over Michael. And they're the only people who use nicknames with him like that.
Maybe Todd Packer also says Scott a lot. But,
Snot.
Yeah,
oh, yeah, we get an appearance from Todd Packer as well. That's great.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
As alluded to by your drops at the beginning.
What's up, my nerds?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Packer! He passes out later.
Listen to how happy Michael is.
He passes out later, and they're just spraying Silly String on his bald head.
Yeah.
A really great insight from this week's episode of Office Ladies, where they talk about the sexual harassment episode.
Mm-hmm.
Angela had this call with Dave Koechner, and she thought she was recording it, but really she was just recording her screen on her iPhone.
Oh, no.
But a lot of insight from Dave Koechner about the character and how, like, why Michael looks up to Todd and how he sees him kind of like an older brother, like, who can kind of do no wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And it's only later on that he sees, you know, the things that are wrong about him or his character flaws. But it's worth listening to for some insight into Todd Packer. And Dave Koechner at the end has to say, please tell everyone that I'm not this character.
We got to talk about someone we haven't mentioned yet, really, Dwight in this episode.
Yes.
This is a big...
This is...
Dressed as an elf for most of the episode with the ears and the hat.
Mm-hmm. By the way... Not elfish features at all. He's much more of a dwarf.
He has elfish features.
He's like broad, wide eyes.
His nose is too small for his face.
He's
no cheekbones.
Yeah, like he's the opposite of an elf.
I mean, the unveiling of the Christmas tree is one of my favorite parts of this episode.
Not great.
I love the hat. And they bring it back in later seasons. But it's funny because they don't frame it. They have him wearing it in the scene, and it is funny just because of the way of how tall it is and how, I guess, like, stiff it is, the way it lays
but
on his head.
But there's the talking head where they go back far enough. So
later on, when they shoot him, they frame it far, like, further back than normal. In this episode, in season two, they frame him at kind of normal proportions for his talking head, so you don't see the hat. But in later seasons, they pull back, and so you get the full visual of the hat, and you see how tall it is.
Yeah.
To the point where I thought it was a different hat at one point.
Yeah.
Like, it had to have been a different hat. Yeah. But no, it's the same elf hat that he wears, with the ears that Michael throws in his face.
Yeah.
In a deleted
Spock
scene.
Ears.
Well, so, in a deleted scene... He says, Dwight always wears those ears. I think he looks like Spock, which makes Dwight really mad because he has a different set of ears when he wants to be Spock.
Michael is just being a jerk to Dwight, especially this whole episode. And Dwight just remains so loyal. I love that part where he's just, after they prop up the tree and knock out the ceiling tile, it's just a shot of Dwight on his hands and knees just vacuuming with the dirt devil.
Oh, yeah. Right. He also has the, like, you know, He has just sets an arbitrary 5-minute limit for people to get their gifts under the tree. He's like, place yeah, it yeah. under the tree, like so.
No exceptions, except Michael.
I love one of the first lines in this episode is there. It starts with them like struggling to carry the tree in through the door. And Dwight says, I got a splinter.
Yeah.
And Michael says, suck it up. We all have problems, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. But really, it's Dwight isn't complaining that he got a splinter. He's just narrating what happens in his life right. for Michael, basically. Right. Like in the way that I'm thinking of when he stops on the way to they're going to go deliver Pam's baby.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Dwight stops and he says, wait. Michael, this is where I saw that deer. I kept IMing you how bored I was.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Mike, Dwight, it's just a little like peek into their relationship
yes.
where
yeah.
Dwight is so excited about Michael that he just wants to tell him what's going well, on and that what he is, sees.
And yeah. that's super evident on Dwight's face when Michael gets the paintball.
You and me, Michael. And yeah.
Me. He's so
yeah.
overjoyed that Michael got it, and he just can't wait. And Michael just takes a crap all over him.
Who wants to go paintballing? How is that better than an iPod?
I never said it was better than an iPod.
The look of
good point.
The look of disappointment when he says that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I
and
know.
Then he throws the ears in his face. He's so mean to
so
him.
So mean, dude. He's just such a villain so in this episode.
I had the moment that you called out, Sean, with Dwight vacuuming up the needles. In the early seasons, just there, I love the little small moments that don't contribute to the plot. They're just there for comedy.
Yeah.
Or sometimes they're not even there for comedy. They just kind of fill, but they help set the tone of the sort of mundane nature of The Office. So mm-hmm. Dwight vacuuming up the pine needles. I have Dwight suggesting a hand truck where they're trying to move the desk.
Right, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Do we have
right.
a hand truck?
Dude, that
no.
moment is the most, it's like, everyone knows that guy.
Yeah.
You know, and that's such a Dwight character thing.
Like, you guys should do this.
He's standing back there with his arms
all.
Crossed, not yeah. helping. I have Angela spreading the tablecloth. Which is where she's trying yes. to spread a tablecloth yeah. out by herself, and she says to Pam, are you going to help me? Just those little moments, yeah. I think, really like...
Just Kevin
know,
sitting
the
with the
struggle
foot
of setting up the party.
Yeah. it just makes you feel like you're in an office yeah. environment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The drinking in this episode
yeah.
goes from just 0 to 100.
So fast. That's so true. And they play the, is it Run DMC?
It's Christmas and Hollis. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. yeah. And there's that shot of Kevin with the headphones on.
Yeah.
yeah. I love that part.
In the deleted scene, he raps it.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, nice.
And that's a callback to BBC Office in which mm-hmm. Keith, mm-hmm. who is the Kevin component.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's and right. he's also the office DJ, and there's a shot of him standing in the corner of the office, just like on his own, just
yeah.
doing his own DJ thing
yeah,
without anyone
sweet.
Around.
And
so that's a callback.
In the deleted scene, I know I keep throwing to this, but yeah. Kevin says, yeah, I'm the DJ. I really know how to get a party going. there's the slow understatedness of Kevin goes away so quickly.
Yeah.
He said oh, I was dull.
Oh, but yeah, it's a hallmark of the early seasons.
Maybe I should have taken the iPod.
Oh, shoot.
Yeah, there's this like slow way of speaking,
yeah.
you know, mm-hmm. that is replaced in later season by Kevin just being completely stupid.
Yeah. He's so dumb.
Yeah.
Yeah, he does get his own foot bath.
Yeah, he buys
him.
Himself the foot bath and then he's standing in it later.
Uh-huh. Just to, now that we're talking about the gifts a little bit, this is before casino night, but Jim's pushing all his chips in here with this letter.
Yeah, right.
Let's talk about this
Let's
teapot.
Talk about Jim and Pam.
Because, yeah, this the teapot letter, which becomes this object, this kind of sacred object within the office universe
yeah.
that's then revealed at the end. Like, Pam's still happily with Roy. This is right before Booze Cruise, so
right.
none of that's happened.
Yeah, this is, yeah, the next episode is Booze Cruise.
Next episode's Booze Cruise. Obviously, it's not casino night yet. And for Pam, this letter from Jim would pretty yeah. much come out of nowhere.
Well,
and if it contains the things that we think it does, I mean, that's a bold move by
right.
Jim, who's like, we see Roy and Pam sitting there talking about the iPod, and obviously we see the seeds of Pam's discontent with the relationship, namely the fantasy football scene that I believe Luciano sent a voicemail about,
oh, yeah.
the trading Sean Alexander for a defense.
Oh, right.
They're
right.
having that conversation, and Pam's just checked out. She's like, oh my God,
totally.
What is this?
Shout out to Deion Branch, the wide receiver who gets name checked in that moment. Yeah,
yeah.
Along with Sean Alexander.
It's just kind of crazy that it's a little bit aggressive that Jim would, I guess,
it's email surveillance is the episode before, and that's when we have the
party
the party at Jim's house, And so right. Pam gets the house tour and is like laughing at his picture.
I don't know if the letter is completely coming out of left field.
Yeah.
And I think Pam would be surprised to receive it, just in the way that she is surprised in the Casino Night episode. No. Where she's like, how can you do like, how can you tell this to me now? You know, I think because she knows like they I don't think
oh,
it's
that's yeah. not what I'm talking about.
Oh, OK.
No, it's like obviously it's there. Like mm-hmm. they know how they feel.
Yeah.
But I just mean the actual move of making the move of like what I'm because we don't really know what's in the letter, but assuming that it's just like, hey, I love you. You should be with me. Not that it says that, but mm-hmm. in so many words, it might say that while essentially she's still completely with Roy, and I know this already happens in Casino Night. Like this already happened. This happens
yeah.
later,
yeah,
in a much different way of just going for the kiss. But I don't know. It feels like the way you do it with a letter like that just feels different. It doesn't feel like what if she just reads it there and Roy's there? It's just
yeah.
kind of a weird move.
Yeah,
that's all.
Yeah, I guess that's
it's just
true.
Not a great move. I thought
no, and I mean he backs down later.
He does.
I mean, I think it's an overall like a nice. Gesture.
Yeah,
yeah. Right. True.
But
true.
Yeah, yeah. It's one way for him to try to make his move, which we see he's not very good at.
Right.
No, he's terrible.
I mean, think about all the times in season two when this happens. The teapot letter, number one, Booze Cruise, yeah. when they have a jinx, and
yeah.
she says, come on, Jim, you can tell me anything, and he
yeah,
can't say
yeah,
anything.
Yeah.
His face kind of falls. And then finally in Casino Night, he breaks through and is actually able to tell her. So I guess, to your point, yes, Jim isn't very good at expressing how he feels to
yeah.
Pam. And it takes these sort of moments or these opportunities that where he can't do it, even though he really, really wants to, mm-hmm. To kind of break through. And then in the end, he does tell her in person. In
right.
a moment where, you know, they are alone together mm-hmm. and they can kind of have that conversation.
The other thing, too, that kind of is weird to me about the letter is when he takes it back. Like, why does he take it back?
Because it just doesn't seem right. I mean, it's like, it's there. It's in the middle of the party, right?
That's what I mean. It's like, why was he
And already, it's already been a weird day because, like, there's, like, the part for me that's like, ooh, ouch, is like, Meredith takes the teapot from
that's
Pam.
That's gotta hurt.
Yeah. Meredith takes the teapot from, takes the teapot from Pam. And, Pam decides to take the iPod, and Jim's like, oh, you're not going to take the teapot? And she goes, I mean, it's an iPod. Like, and it's just like, in that moment, Jim, I think, like, how can you not be like, oh, shit, I don't matter to her at all, you know?
Oh, he's just like, yeah, she's not on the same page as
right,
me.
Right.
Well, and he also doesn't get a chance to explain the gift. He says there's actually more
true,
to
true.
It, and then they move on to the Yankee Swap.
By
or
the
they
way,
move on to the next gift.
For our younger listeners out there, the video iPod at that time that is a marquee item.
Well,
that's a huge deal. I mean,
yeah.
Sean, you watched
a
video iPod.
I had a video iPod. I don't know if I've mentioned that before, but I was going to mention that I remember this episode very vividly, and I think that this is actually the first episode of The Office I ever saw because I got a video iPod for Christmas in 2005, and this came out December 6, 2005. So I think like when you like logged on to iTunes or something, this was like the free episode that you'd get.
Oh,
so it was like
wow.
on Christmas and like, you know, and so I think that this might be the first episode I ever actually saw.
God, remember that?
Yeah.
Well, plug in your iPod into iTunes.
I know. It was so.
And they're both like gone now. Really.
Yeah.
Like yeah. they don't make iPods anymore.
No.
Yeah.
Wow. It was such a small screen.
I think the other thing that happens, to go back to Jim and Pam, is that when Pam does open the teapot and they share that sort of, she's like, oh, the yearbook picture,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And they start going through the little gifts. I think Jim sort of realizes that what he has is still like really important and that he really loves the sort of emotional connection, the emotional intimacy that they share.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like that, he doesn't want to break it.
Yes.
Yeah.
So,
he
doesn't want to ruin it by necessarily sharing his feelings at that moment.
Sure.
He pulls the letter away. Pretty slick, though. To
oh, yeah. It's
a slick move.
It's
a slick move.
The back pocket. Yeah,
and
the back
beautiful.
Pocket.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So but, I guess he does arrive where he does come to the conclusion.
The same conclusion that you did. Yeah.
This isn't right.
Like, as it's happening, like, if you kind of, like, try to imagine what's going to happen when she opens the card, like, her mood's totally going to change.
Yes.
Like, right now she's laughing and they're giggling
and
together
like,
and everything's
move.
Good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, pull the card.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a good move. But it's also, like, yeah, he could have done that. I thought he would have done it when we see Dwight with the teapot. Like, he could have just snuck it out of the box. Because what if Dwight's like, what's this letter? You know, yeah. And just rips it open. And
yeah, that's true.
I'm surprised he didn't say, if you're going to keep the teapot, can I at least have the things that are inside?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, Dwight would have felt the weight of it when he demonstrates the neti pot.
Yes.
It's like,
another great Dwight moment from this episode.
Yeah.
Dwight says, no, I get sinus infections. And when I get sinus infections, I like to write about them with a golf pencil, eat something with a little bit of hot sauce on it, and look at your yearbook picture.
Also, like, you don't have a teapot in your antique house and barn, you old farmer. Yeah. Come on. Seriously, bro.
I do like that the tension or the conflict between Jim and Pam, right? And Jim trying to give Pam this gift, this sort of big, meaningful gift that he's put a lot of thought and a lot of time into, that it's not Roy that gets in the way, it's Dwight.
Yeah.
Somebody who, and I guess to a lesser extent, Meredith and the Yankee swap, where it's Jim gets angry, right? But it's funny. It's just kind of a circumstance that ends up with Dwight, who won't give it back, you know?
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah. I think that's a funny direction for it to take, and I'm glad it isn't Roy who has the teapot. And he's like, no, now I'm going to give it to her for Christmas or something like that, you know?
I also love the actual moment when he takes the teapot, and he's just like, thank you, I'll take the teapot. Like, he's just knew so exactly swift. He's been waiting. He's like, I need that thing.
Yeah.
And he's so quick about it. But then he ends up with the iPod.
Ends up with the iPod. There's a funny moment between him and Michael where Michael's like, well, if anyone was going to get it, I'm glad it was you. So it's kind of in the end, Michael gets to be a little nice to Dwight.
And at the end, when they all say, we're going to Poor Richard's, you in? And then Dwight holds up his iPod and he's got his headphones in.
Yeah. <no. laughs> And that's kind of a funny, like, I can't believe they all went to Poor Richard's after the amount of drinking they went down at the office. Yeah. Like, Todd Packer is passed out on a desk, and then we see him later.
He's the only one dragging him out.
It's true.
Yeah.
Todd Packer and Meredith are the only ones who really go crazy, it seems like. We see, I think, Phyllis take a shot with there are four people who take a shot.
Right. Oh yeah. There's that
I
shot.
Oscar,
Ryan, I think, is maybe one of them.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Jim cuts loose a little bit, and he's spraying Silly String on the top of Packer's head.
That's right, and then just does the shrug to the camera.
Good shrug.
Other favorite moments from this episode? Kelly stealing the kiss from Dwight.
Oh, let's talk.
That's a great moment that does not come back up again, because it's alluded to in the Diversity Day episode in season one.
Yeah.
It's like, why don't we say a race that we're attracted to sexually? And Dwight, I think, says white and Indian.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Kelly. Yeah.
It seems to be like planting a seed for a Dwight Kelly thing, but I'm glad it doesn't take shape, because I can't imagine.
What a dumpster fire.
We know that Dwight and Angela are together at this point.
Yes.
So Angela in this episode is fantastic, but she's having a very bad day. So when she sees, she's already had the talking head where she just starts crying out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm. Smashes the ornaments outside in the parking
lot. Well, that's
lot.
What she does when she sees Kelly kiss Dwight. Yeah. Then she goes outside and throws
those sharp little boots.
Screams with every...
terrifying scream. Like, if you just listen on it, if you were just on a walk out and you just heard that, you'd be terrified.
Yeah, Jesus,
this glass breaking. I was just reading about this episode, and Greg Daniels was saying that over the course of the episode, Angela's day goes from great to terrible, and Phyllis's day goes from terrible to great over the course of the episode.
That's pretty true.
Laying the ground for their relationship there as well. One other callback to the BBC. I mentioned Kevin with Keith and the DJ. Todd Packer comes in with mistletoe attached to his crotch.
Dance, yeah.
In series two of the BBC Office, Chris Finch, which is the Todd Packer of BBC Office,
Finchy,
has a red clown nose attached to his crotch and tells Don to kiss him on the nose.
Oh my God.
Yeah, Finchy is worse than Packer. Isn't
that
crazy?
Finch is terrible. It's kind of amazing, but he is worse.
Anything else?
I have a few things. Let's see. When they light the tree ceremony and they're all kind of disappointed, like, what do they expect from the office Christmas tree? Like Rockefeller Center.
when Stanley goes in to plug it in. And you just get the moment of Dwight, like, I want to do it.
It's a safety concern. Stanley says, I know how to plug something in. I want to do it.
It's like, it's perfect. Yeah.
Kevin holding up the mini tree, I love when they finally cut it with the paper cutter.
Oh, yeah.
And sell it to charity. Ryan on the party planning committee. He just doesn't care. Why is he there? You know? And he says, shout out to Ryan, king of the party committee.
Oh, yeah.
Angela gets so upset.
That's a burn to Angela again.
We get one of Michael's first shut-its under his breath.
Yep. To Angela?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Shut.
We also get I think one of the best
noises.
Just noises from Michael, which is when Meredith takes her shirt off.
Meredith flashes at the end.
Full inhale and exhale picture. And we talked about this yesterday because we watched this episode together.
Yesterday. Oh, yeah.
But we learn later on when Meredith is saying, like, Michael...
Is it the roast of Michael Scott?
You are the reason I drink.
Yeah, and he's like, you posted a picture of me in the company newsletter
right.
of my boobs. And we realize in this, Michael, at the beginning of this episode, when he's got his digital camera, another thing that dates the episode along with the video iPod, and Dwight referencing, take that, Bin Laden.
Saddam.
Right. Or Saddam, like Saddam, sorry.
Yeah, when
Saddam.
He's paintballing.
Saddam, my bad. But we know that Michael says the craziest, I'm going to be taking pictures all night, the craziest thing that happens is going to go in the company newsletter.
Right, right.
And he lives up to his promise, puts that picture of Meredith.
Paper. Jesus.
Except for that picture, I really want to see all the other ones that Michael takes. Because if you look at the ones, it's the empty Vance refrigeration hallway. And then when Todd Packer jumps on his back and he takes that picture.
Oh, yeah.
And then he just shoves it in like Ryan... And whoever's
right. He
face.
Just starts shoving it in people's faces.
I just
or when
see those
he when he tells Daryl he can be Santa, and then like kind of goes in for like almost a kiss.
Yeah,
I just really
just
want
takes
to
a picture right at the last second.
Those would be Daryl's hilarious so to confused. See. Those would be so funny to see.
That would be great. Yeah.
I don't know why Michael is so caught up with somebody wearing a lampshade on their head.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's like, I want to see lampshades on head.
Yeah.
Where are the lamps in this office? The lampshades.
Yeah, right. I don't think
where does he even get the lampshade that he uses that he puts on his own head and he walks out and he says, lampshade on head.
It's happening.
It just seems like a party trope that he might have seen on a show.
Yes.
And that's all he knows. He's never actually had a party like that.
He walks in and he says, is anyone making out over here? Nope, not yet. And he goes, hey, Ebenezer, boink. Takes a picture. I love that line.
Ebenezer, boink.
Hey, Ebenezer, boink.
Yeah. One last thing on the Kelly Dwight kiss is he doesn't like say he's not into it. He just
says,
is like,
what are you doing?
It's a man's job to do that. It's not that he's bothered. It's like, I should make that move, not you.
I think he's all, I mean, I think he is also like things are progressing with Angela at this point. So he's probably like, wait a minute, don't do that.
Kevin taking pictures of his butt. Classic stuff.
The line, happy birthday, Jesus. Sorry, your party's so lame. That's like that's like one of the seminal office
like
Christmas quotes. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So many office Christmas sweaters now. I'm dreaming of a Dwight Christmas. Impish or admirable.
Yeah.
My favorite is the one that says Home Malone, and it's Kevin as Macaulay Culkin.
That's right. I think that's everything that I had.
Yeah, that's all I
got. Yeah, that's all I had on this episode. Fun to dig into a single episode again to kind of look at every sort of moment in line. I'm excited to jump into Benihana Christmas next week.
That's going to be a very fun one.
Nice two-parter.
And if you,
do you guys want to go to Benihana's after we record that?
Absolutely go to Benihana's.
Yeah. Maybe grab lunch before and then record. I don't, who knows?
We'll skip the Nagasaki's, though.
Sure. You will.
Some people won't make it for you because it's seasonal. All right.
You want to check this voicemail line out?
Let's check it out.
Please leave a message for Andy Bernard.
All right. Voicemail. This is coming from Kevin in Oklahoma.
Hey, guys. My name is Kevin and from Oklahoma. And I've been watching The Office and listening to your guys' podcast. And I've watched The Office several times through now. And I'm a musician, and so me and some friends were talking the other day and got in a pretty heated debate on what is the best song from The Office.
That's a great question.
And I wanted to call and kind of get your guys' opinion on this. And the more we dove into it, the more we kind of found out it was a really, really hard question. I mean, we started with, you know, originals like Goodbye, Toby, Kelly Kapoor singing Temporary Boss Shooting Spree, Hank singing Me in the Blues, but then it quickly turned and we couldn't leave out all the other songs that have been on the show, thinking about, you know, Subtle Sexuality songs.
Oh, yeah.
All the different songs Andy has sung, Stanley singing Closing Time.
That's great.
The song in the finale episode.
Oh, yeah.
So I wanted to call and kind of get you guys' opinion on that. And thanks again. Love the podcast.
Thank you, Kevin.
Yeah, thanks for that question. Yeah, such a great question.
That's a great one.
And so many great examples.
I love that. Yeah. The first one that came to mind for me is Andy in Koi Pond singing about the different sweet numbers. Sherman Blinds and Ruts, Sweet 202, Apple Bomb Drilling.
Oh, Sweet 401.
Yeah, Sweet 401. Oh, here it is, Sweet 401.
I was going to sing it.
I was going to sing that part.
Now you don't have to.
Yes.
I was going to resolve the melody, so now my head hurts. Feels like I held in a sneeze. I hate this feeling.
Give it to me.
Sweet 401.
Yeah.
Nice. I have two that immediately are like, these are my number one pick is for me always going to be Dwight and Andy singing Country Roads.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, that's
Aaron.
A great one.
That's just a moment that I filled me with so much joy in the moment watching it, and the way they turn from trying to
impress
each other to just coercing into
Dwight
like,
sings
oh,
it in German.
We got a nice thing going here.
Even is there good.
And by the end, they're in perfect harmony. It's just, it's great. I love that moment. I think it's a great. And then my other one is Andy's voicemail song or speakerphone song to Angela.
Yeah,
the ABBA's.
Mm. Oh yeah, that's a good one.
That moment, just the way it's executed, the way it's done, love it.
If you want to hear an example of how that song is not executed or done, you should check out our episode from a couple weeks ago where we improvised trying to sing it all together.
Hey, we got some people that said they liked it. We thought we did, and that we should try it again and practice it and perform it on the podcast. So a little holiday homework for us.
Maybe next Christmas.
Let's work on it and just hit them out of nowhere. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The first one that came to me is Andy singing "I Try" at the end of the play episode.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's cool.
And I think I like that one for a few reasons. I love that they're all together. I love that it's Andy singing kind of to the group. And there is an expression from Pam or a line from Pam where she says, it's actually really nice to hear Andy sing in the proper context. That is the right context, though. Yeah. Go ahead.
Also in that episode when Andy's on stage singing, I think it's like, "I feel you, Joanna." And Dwight is in the audience, just like has this smile on his face and leans to the stranger next to him. Yeah. And it's like, that guy works in my office.
I know, I love
it. He's a terrible singer. Like, but he's like, yeah, he can't really impressed.
And he can't take his eyes off.
Yeah, it's so funny.
Well, and you think too, Andy is so down in that episode because Aaron doesn't come to see him perform, and
right,
he's really,
right,
you know, looking to impress Aaron. Mm-hmm. And then he also has the phone go off in his pocket.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh man, what a cringy moment. I love it. I love it so much. It appears the bird was in mine pocket, right?
And I silenced it. I killed it. Like you, Sweeney Todd.
He gives away the
play. But I don't know that yet.
All right, we've got
that is a Scott
Stott level.
We've
got about a tangent, but
I love that's why I like it, just because it's Andy singing, it's the crowd or the cast and the ensemble working together.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Daryl playing the piano, which I always love.
Yeah, yeah,
oh yeah,
That was the first one that I thought of. Yeah,
yeah. I love when Kevin is singing Alanis Morissette.
You, that's really good.
Kevin calling out Creed's song at the end of the show, in the finale, is a really good call too, because it's kind of funny that the show's been like sitting on having a professional musician in the cast for 9 seasons, and they finally take the lid off in like the last episode and just let him like sing a beautiful song.
Yeah,
and it's like, man, they could have done that way before, but they never did.
Yeah,
there is a moment where Creed is singing his own song in Benihana Christmas.
Yeah, that's right.
Sure, been reeling with love,
but karaoke, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yes.
Karaoke. Yeah, yeah. Yes.
But to hear him actually play and sing is, it's a really sweet moment.
Right,
it's really nice.
The other one for me is Andy singing "I Will Remember You" at the as he exits in season 8. It's such a nice moment.
I always try and resist.
All of the characters have totally written Andy off. They're like, "What are you? Why are you here? Can't you just say goodbye and leave?" Yeah. And he sings that song, and it kind of gets to everybody, which is really nice. Yeah, it's the musical version of them finding Ryan's poem. Kapoor and Kadesperate, he watches.
Kapoor and Kadesperate.
Yeah.
Great team name for
a
trivia.
A speck of white in a sea, Kelly Green.
Yeah. Ryan can never know.
Any others?
I mean, there's so many.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm glad he mentioned this one that I didn't think of, but why did my temporary boss go on a shooting spree? I love that one.
That's a good one.
Really, really good.
Kelly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, gosh. That's
also, I went to the doctor. I went to the mountain. The Andy singing, and then Jim joins in.
Yeah.
Tuna.
Yeah. Tuna.
Yeah.
Great moment.
Josh Groban. Like when he starts singing, they start singing, it's not More Than Words. What do they sing? May the good Lord be with you.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Josh Groban slips into Josh Groban voice for like 1 second.
Yeah.
I love that. Yeah.
And the way that Andy's dad is like, we can't do that.
Andrew,
and then they immediately go right into
Merritt
it.
Merritt says, you get up there and sing, I'll cut your pretty throat. You'll never sing again.
Oh, I love Meredith so much.
I think she says, who's the sausage? Yeah. And Andy says, that's my brother.
Who's the sausage?
Bye, Pam. Bye, Tuna. Great guest star. Speaking of songs real quick, we had another listener.
We
oh,
should
crap,
do.
I'm forgetting her name,
I mean, but I guess we just did it, but I would love, I could spend hours talking about music.
I know. Yeah. Well, we'll save some for later, but a listener sent us this. Monique.
Right.
I believe her name was Monique.
Okay.
Sent this in, and this was, we played obviously the heavy metal.
Yeah.
We played that one.
And then Michael Scott with the dollar sign.
Right.
As that's a band.
Yeah,
they're on Spotify.
Dude, those songs are.
Those songs
I went
are
back.
So
those
good.
Songs are great. They're so well done.
I
love it.
I listen
anyway,
to them.
Anyway, this is this was another one that Monique sent us. She said, hey, if you haven't heard this, check it out. It's fantastic. And
that's great because I need
you guys
paper.
Like it. Get the idea. This is Charles
song.
Goose. His name's Charles Goose. It's called Michael Scott. That's the song.
That's a very good sample of the Office theme song. I love that.
Anyway, let me fade this out.
Oh my
so
gosh,
do this.
Thanks, Monique. Wait, that's a great one.
Check that out because that's Charles Goose, Michael Scott.
Charles Goose.
Check
love
it out.
It.
This whole thing.
That's a great song.
Yeah.
Thank you, Monique.
There's good stuff out there.
Yeah, if you find more Office theme music, send
it
in.
Please.
Yeah. We'll help spread the word to people who love the show. And
make your own. Yeah. You know, if we ever get enough, we could have a different theme every episode at the beginning. We could have a different song.
We need to get that mashup from Will that he
we
did.
Do.
Remember the Office theme song?
Yeah, I just remember that too.
Yeah.
And
Manarola, Pippin and Cola.
Yeah.
Oh,
okay, we'll get that.
While we're on the topic, we've had some people write in about the lyrics in our opening jingle.
Yeah.
Which are not right, which we know they're not right.
Yeah.
Yeah, we thought, I guess we're going to talk about this now.
Yeah, we'll talk about it now.
It was a little flip at the beginning when we were getting kicked off. We say people paper needs instead of business paper needs in the beginning. We thought it'd be kind of a subtle little
twist. Yeah, a change.
But
yeah.
Clearly people have noticed.
They don't like it. So.
And they don't like it.
We'll fix it.
We'll get around to it.
I'll sing it again for you. Don't worry. We'll do it maybe for Christmas.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Time for some trivia.
Let's just do our thing, collect our hardware, and get the hell home.
All right, so I have trivia again this week, and it's not too many questions, and this comes from just different episodes in season two, so
great.
I'm going to give you some questions. On the video iPod in the Christmas party episode, what artist is on the picture of the box?
Oh, wow.
Bono?
No.
That's got to be YouTube.
It's a perfect little summation of the time. 2005.
Death Cab for Cutie.
You're going to feel really good when you figure it out.
Oh, Black Eyed Peas, good call. Can you give us a genre?
It's kind of hard to explain.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. 2005.
There's like a rap element and a rock element and a pop element.
That sounds like
Black Eyed Peas.
That's the Gorillaz.
Oh, it's the Gorillaz.
You know what I mean? Where it's like
Demon
kind
Days
of
was
yeah
for nice. Sure.
Kind of hard to describe.
Yeah. Yes, yeah.
I tried totally. To slip right. in. You guys are gonna feel really good when you figure it out.
Yeah. Yes. Oh wow, that's good.
But you know what I mean? It's hard to. The
I remember
genre.
That was on
It's on
total,
the yeah.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
What does Michael order for lunch in The Secret? They go to Hooters.
Well, he orders chicken breast. Hold the chicken,
and then he ends up just.
What does he order after that?
Is that hot dog?
Yeah, the gourmet hot dog. Gourmet hot dog. Yes. Michael has the same birthday as which famous actress?
Oh, I know this. Yeah, in case they have something to talk about, if they ever meet.
Yeah.
You're
so close.
She was on Desperate Housewives.
Uh huh. I don't know.
Her name. Her name's like on the tip of my tongue. It's.
Her last name used to be Parker.
I know. Eva Longoria.
Yeah. So I have a perfect icebreaker if I ever meet Terry Hatcher.
Thanks for the Tony Parker assist.
In the negotiation, Michael is trying to practice the technique of speaking quietly. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
And Jim comes back with sex Steve Martin, Terry Hatcher. And he goes, what? What did you say?
Sounded interesting.
Right, yeah. In the carpet, Kelly is talking to Jim and she lists the things she loves. What are they?
Things she loves.
Like blank, desert. Blah, 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 blah. What does Kelly love?
I feel like I've given this as a trivia question a while ago.
Mm-hmm. It's not movies, or it is movies?
It's not movies.
Okay.
You've mentioned one of these things already in this trivia segment.
I don't remember.
Kissing Dwight. No, I don't know what it is.
Beyonce, Pink the Color, Pink the Person, Hot Dogs, basically anything that is awesome. Snow cones.
Oh, that's right. I'm pretty sure I've written that down as a trivia question.
Ryan orders two drinks at casino night. What are the drinks?
Oh, wow. At casino night, old fashioned?
No. I was going to say a Manhattan or like a... does he order some version of a martini?
No. I'll take an F train to Brooklyn. Extra bitters.
Oh, okay.
No, that's later. That's later.
Yeah, yeah.
Ryan goes up to the bar and he says, one beer and one 7-7 with 8 maraschino cherries, sugar on the rim, blend it if you can.
For Kelly?
And Jim says, so that's still going on, huh? You and Kelly?
Yeah.
Michael says, I did not go to business school. Do you know who else didn't go to business school? And he names three people who didn't go to business school.
Abraham Lincoln.
They went right from high school to the NBA.
Oh, Michael Jordan.
Kobe Bryant.
Yep, that's one. Not yeah. Michael Jordan, but Kobe Bryant.
Yeah.
Who else went from high school to the NBA?
Dude, Michael Jordan went to UNC.
Sorry.
One of these players is still playing today.
Kobe Bryant. It's still playing today?
Oh, yes. Historically great.
Oh, LeBron James.
Yes.
And
Shaquille O'Neal.
Is it another basketball player?
Mm-hmm.
Charles Barkley.
Tracy McGrady.
Tracy McGrady.
LeBron James, Tracy McGrady, Kobe Bryant, they all went from high school to the NBA.
Shout out 2005, Tracy McGrady.
I don't
what
know
a force.
Who Tracy McGrady is.
you have much to learn, my friend.
You're missing out.
I hate so much about the things you choose to be. What is Creed Sprout in his drawer?
Mung beans.
Mung beans. And then whose butt does Kevin photocopy during the Christmas party?
His own.
Yeah, you already said it. That's all I had for trivia this week.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Oh, I'm so bummed I didn't get Ryan's drink orders.
That's a tough one, though. What was Kelly's drink again?
7-7, sugar on the rim.
With eight maraschino cherries. Blend it if you can. It sounds terrible.
Oh, gosh. Well, thank you, everybody, so much for listening. Please hit us up. Like we said, next week we're talking about Benihana Christmas. If you have anything to write to us about, comments, questions that you'd love for us to answer, hit us up. Our phone number is 503-694-9314. You can call and leave a message, and we like to play them on the show. Our email is mspodcastcompany@gmail.com. Our Facebook and Instagram is Michael Scott Podcast Company. Our Twitter is @MichaelScottPod. And we have a website, michaelscottpod.com, where you can find all those ways of getting a hold of us. Special thanks to Ryan Lloyd, who runs our social media and designs all our artwork, and Open Signal, a community media center in Portland, where we usually record our show, but... we're back at the OG studio.
Casa de Ward.
That's right.
Please remember to rate and review the show. It helps us, helps people find the show. And just a small thing, thank you so much for everyone who's interacted with us, engaged with us, sent something in. We see it all. I love to see it. You know what? I should have thought of this, but somebody posted on our Facebook when we were talking about Bob Vance.
Yeah, yeah.
They posted this really funny meme of it's Darth Maul with Bob Vance's face, and he has the two-sided lightsaber, and on one side it says Bob Vance, and on the other, Vance Refrigeration. Good. Yeah, thank you. I'm sorry that I can't think of your name right now, but I'm so glad you posted. It really made me laugh.
Really fun.
Yeah.
Well, thank you guys so much for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Hippity Poppy, give me the salad.
Yes, sir.